This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, June the 8th, as we head into a huge weekend of Phillies baseball. As the Phillies host the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend, we get to that in just a little bit. The first place Milwaukee Brewers, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. First and foremost, frustratingly, I'm coming to you after another upsetting Phillies win, though not as upsetting as the walk-off grand slam Jason Hayward hit a couple nights ago. But yesterday's day game was certainly another frustrating loss for the Phillies as they fall 4-3 to the Cubbies, and falling to 32-28 on the season. As it was a frustrating loss because you really felt like they should have won the game when the Chicago Cubs starter, Tyler Chatwood, walked 7 guys, and yet they were only able to muster up 1 run off of Chatwood, as it was just one of those games where runners left on base, a few miscues, some mental errors, all that type of stuff, and Nick Pivetta just didn't have his best stuff. Certainly was far from bad. I mean, Nick Pivetta wasn't a disaster outing or anything like that, but still not the best Nick Pivetta outing, as he only goes 5 innings, allows 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 6 strikeouts to 1 walk. Was nice to see, as again, it was really just the 5th inning. It just all unraveled for Pivetta. He gave up 1 run before the 5th inning as Anthony Rizzo. Just, again, another case of Anthony Rizzo just being a great hitter. You know, that's what it really came down to, is it wasn't that bad a pitch by Pivetta. Same thing with the Aaron Nola home run that Rizzo hit off of Nola. Just a good pitch. Pivetta, it was one of those pitches where Pivetta threw it and Rizzo swung, and I thought he missed it. And then all of a sudden, the ball was flying out of the ballpark. That's how quick and how hard he hit it. He just has such quick wrists and such quick arms. And able to muscle one out yet again, as it was just a shot. It got out in a hurry. It was out immediately, right over the right field bench. Nice shot there by Rizzo. They're up 1-0, but then the Phillies are able to tie it in the 5th at 1-1, and you're feeling good as the Phillies, with smart base running by Odubel Herrera's Odubel on first base, gets to second base, excuse me, and there's a grounder to shortstop, and the play goes to first, and Odubel is looked back. And, you know, one of those situations where a lot of times the guy will just go back to second base and, you know, not challenge it. But as soon as the shortstop threw the ball to first base, Odubel took off for third base, and Rizzo, after getting the out first, couldn't even hold on to the ball to get it third. He just kind of dropped it on the throw there. It was just kind of too quick an exchange for him. And Odubel was able to take third, ends up coming around to score on a low Santana RBI single. It's 1-1. You're feeling better. You're feeling excited, though it was a little frustrating, as the Phillies would go on to load the bases in that inning, knock Chatwood out of the game, but unable to capitalize on Chatwood. And it was frustrating that they were unable to take more advantage of Chatwood. Again, 7 walks the man allowed. And just in general with Chatwood, I have not watched a pitcher in a long time who I feel like I would be more scared to go into the batter's box and face. Not because he's the best pitcher I've ever seen, because that dude has no idea where the ball is going. If you didn't watch this game, the 7 walks don't do it justice. They do not do justice to how bad this guy looked in terms of his ability to keep the ball where he wanted it to go. He would throw a pitch and every other pitch was flying over the batter's head or flying to the backstop. It was terrifying. I would be terrified to face him. I understand. Look, I'm sure that if I got into a batter's box, any batter's box against any major league pitcher, I'm sure I would probably be terrified, because I'm sure they can throw a ball 90 miles an hour that looks like it's coming at my face, and all of a sudden it's right over the plate. But I would know deep down that those pitchers weren't going to hit me, you know. But Tyler Chatwood, I don't know, man. Even in a facing some media guy type of situation, I wouldn't want to face that guy where he's trying his best to throw strikes. That guy had zero control. He certainly has stuff. There's no question about it. And the strikeouts back that up. But man, he is terrifying to watch, terrifying to bat against. It was unbelievable how many balls that dude just threw to the backstop or over someone's head. Frustrating, the Phillies just couldn't capitalize there, especially after loading the bases there and really having a shot. But Brian Dunsing able to come in and get out of it. And then it just all went to hell for Pivetta. Such a bummer as he gets the first out, and then a throwing error on Chris Jimenez gets on first base after the error. And then Pivetta walks Brian Dunsing, the pitcher, Brian freaking Dunsing. He walks him, and then a single by Almora loads the bases. And this is the most frustrating part, because it's the 8-9-10, you know, 8-9 hitter, and then Almora, Tommy La Stella comes up. Tommy La Stella, a single, it's 2-1. Then Chris Bryant gets an infield hit, just a deep kind of grounder to shortstop that Kingery's unable to get a playoff on. 3-1. Pivetta just getting nickled and dimed to death here. And then 4-1 on a sack fly by Anthony Rizzo. That would be the end of the inning after that. That play looked like it was going to stay 3-run. A big replay review there as they review the play at the plate. A great throw from Dylan Cousins, who just rifles the ball in from left field. And Andrew Knapp, it was ruled a run because he was blocking the plate with his left foot. But after they changed the rule, the infamous Buster Posey Scott Cousins rule. But in this case, Knapp, it was just an awesome play. It really was. Just blocking the plate with his left leg as he goes up high to catch the ball and swipe down and make a great tag after the block. But they changed the rule, and it was a fair call. He was blocking the plate. So the run scores. Pivetta able to get out of the inning after that. The Phillies able to cut it to 4-3 in the sixth as Scott Kingery doubles in a pair to make it 4-3. Kingery getting going a little bit. That was nice to see. But then the Phillies unable to get there as the Cubs bullpen is able to close it out. A 4-3 victory for the Cubs. Unfortunately, again, the Phillies drop the series 2-1. They have now lost 8 of their last 11 games as they fall to 32-28 on the season. Frustrating run of baseball here for the Phillies. A rough, rough road trip, as after losing 2 of 3 to Toronto, they go to L.A. and lose 2 of 4, losing 3 straight into San Francisco, and then 2 out of 3 in Chicago. So ultimately on the road trip, as I do the quick math in my head, I'm sure the listeners out there have already done it, but the Phillies a depressing 3-7 on the road trip. There's some quick math for you, and good math, but quick. Not good, for real. But the Phillies, 3-7 on the road trip. Frustrating series of events here. The Phillies just, again, struggling to win baseball games as of late. Luckily, they come home. They have been so great at home this season, 13-19 on the road. They have the best home record in baseball, or one of the best home records in baseball. So that is a great feeling, as there is just a real serious month of June coming up for this Phillies team. We have talked about it a ton on this show, but the Brewers started off this weekend coming to town. And this Brewers team, it's really hard to believe that they are the best team in the National League record-wise. As when you look at how the team is broken down, and we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but their starting staff is made up of guys like Junior Guerra and Chase Anderson and Julius Chacin. Nobody with any sort of cachet, not that you need cachet, but guys who just don't scare you, soft tossers for the most part. Julius Chacin is not someone who strikes guys out. None of these guys are big strikeout guys. It's been really surprising that when you look at this, you know, kind of retread type of staff here, Brent Sutter is the guy who the Phillies are going to face this week. And he sounds like a hockey player, not a baseball player. But it's a group of guys that have been getting the job done despite a lack of pedigree or whatever around them. And then offensively, look, Ryan Braun's been absolutely terrible this year. And Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain have been pretty good, having been brought over. Travis Shaw has been a beast for them. It's a lot of guys you don't know or you wouldn't think are doing a great job for them. Jesus Aguilar, Eric Thames is there. You know, a lot of guys who Domingo Santana has been very good, but he is there as well. So this Brewers team has been really surprising in terms of being the best team in the National League record-wise right now. And again, you look at the starting staff, looking at these matchups for the weekend, you know, Velasquez versus Chacin, and then you have Arrieta versus Sutter, and then Eflin against Junior Guerra, most likely is unannounced, but it should be Junior Guerra if the rotation holds. That is just a bad pitching staff, and yet they've been getting the job done. Chacin has been really good over the last month, especially. Sutter has been hit or miss. Guerra has been solid, and the big thing has been the bullpen has pitched really well for the Brewers. Josh Hader is, if you don't watch the Brewers very often, which, you know, if you're a Phillies fan, I don't know why you have too many reasons to watch the Brewers, except for this weekend when they're in town, and then next weekend when the Phillies go out to Milwaukee to face them, a home-and-home weekend's part, as it were. But the Josh Hader is a middle reliever, starter-turn reliever for the Brewers. Left-handed guy, tall dude, long hair, tattoos. He is the best reliever in baseball right now. That is not hyperbole. He's striking out like 50% of the guys who face him. One out of every two batters who go up to the plate against Josh Hader strikes out. He had an 8-out save a few weeks ago where he struck out all 8 guys. He's awesome. He's so good, and it is fun to watch. So, unfortunately, when Josh Hader comes in, it probably means the Phillies aren't going to be scoring some runs in that moment, but certainly someone who is a blast to watch. That'll be a fun part of this series. But coming up in a minute, I want to dive into the series a little more, look at the pitching matchups from the Phillies' perspective, as Vince Velasquez has really impressed as of late. Some of the numbers on him that tell the story about how good Vinny has been lately. And then also want to dive in and talk a little bit about Freddie Galvis on the mind for a particular reason. So that'll be coming up too, and then looking around Major League Baseball as well to heading into a big weekend here for the Phillies. Again, the Brewers in town, big matchup as we look ahead to a big, big month of June for the Philadelphia Phillies coming up. It is James Seltzer. It's Phillies Today. We are back. It is Phillies Today. I'm James Seltzer as we come out of another frustrating loss to the Cubs in Chicago, losing the last two of the series, the walk-off grand slam for Jason Hayward in game two, and then yesterday's 4-3 loss. The Phillies unable to capitalize on Tyler Chatwood's 7 walks and just general overall throwing the ball nowhere near where he expects it to go or seemingly expects it to go. Unfortunately, the Phillies unable to capitalize against Chatwood, and the Phillies come out losing 2 of 3 in Chicago. After a rough road trip out west, coming home, frustrating watching. But I feel like that's been the word of the day for me, is frustrating, because it really has been frustrating, especially this series, because you looked at how they played out in San Francisco, and it was Jake Arrieta said, a horse bleep kind of series out there. They really did play like crap. They were a bad baseball team, and they got called out for it by Arrieta. And Kapler came out, and as we talked about yesterday, a great statement and a great response, but also acknowledged that, yeah, they haven't played well. And coming into Chicago after that, I thought they fought hard. I thought they played a good series, and I think that's reason for optimism, but at the same time, it was also frustrating they weren't able to come out of that series with 2 wins. They should have won that series. They had it in their hands. They had it right in their grasp, and unfortunately, they only get the 1, but I think on a macro level, on the whole, you do have to be more happy than upset after that San Francisco series to go into Chicago and put up some runs for ones. They score 6 runs in game 1. Actually outscore the Cubs over the course of the series when you look at it, as the Cubs win by 1 run and 2 runs, and the Phillies won by 5 in that first game. So they outscore the Cubs by a couple runs total in the series. But the Phillies put up a 6 spot. You know, they put up three yesterday, not quite as much, but able to put up the five spot as well. So from an offensive perspective, a better series than the Phillies have had in a while, especially when you consider they only scored five runs the entire the five games prior to this series, only five runs total. So it was nice to see the bats maybe not get going, I would say, but at least a little bit. And I thought they had more productive at-bats. You felt like those guys were going up with a purpose and not just flailing around. And while I still don't understand batting Scott Kingery in the 3-0, at least, you know, look, he had a big RBI double yesterday. It didn't get the job done, obviously, but a two RBI double was nice to see from him. And maybe it's going to instill confidence. Maybe that's something that will get him going. Regardless, it was nice to see the bats get going a little bit. Also, nice to see the return of that J.P. Crawford. Interesting, though, and look, I'm not a major league manager, but I will quibble with Gabe Kapler a little bit in the sense that, and here's the thing, I don't know why, but J.P. Crawford played third base with Kingery at short yesterday. They said, Kapler said that that's something we could see more of moving forward this season. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The only thing I can think of is that maybe Crawford's arm isn't healed enough for him to be able to make those deep throws at shortstop. But if that's not the case, I just don't get it. J.P. Crawford is absolutely a better defensive shortstop than Scott Kingery. It's his natural position. It looks like his natural position when he plays it. When Scott Kingery plays it, he doesn't look comfortable there. He doesn't look natural. He has trouble covering the bases from that side. It's just... it feels like we see examples of it night in, night out. Look, Jake Arrieta only called out one person, right? He called out Scott Kingery. He called out the whole team in accountability, but he only said one name, and that was Kingery. I think there was a reason for that as well. But look, Kapler knows more about the situation than I do. I'm not portending to say that I have a better call or read on the situation. But I, for me, it's surprising. I'm interested to see where it goes. Again, also surprising that Kingery in the 3-0, so... who knows, but at least from my perspective, I think Scott Kingery, a definitely inferior shortstop when compared to J.P. Crawford from a defensive perspective. So if it's not injury-related, I really don't know why he is playing there. But that is what it is, I suppose. Speaking of that position, there used to be a lot of stability at the shortstop position, for better or worse, with Freddie Galvis here for a while. Here's the thing, though, and I still can't believe it every day I look at the stats. Eniel De Los Santos, the player the Phillies traded for when they traded for Freddie Galvis to San Diego, has all of a sudden become a terrific prospect. He has had another great start for the Iron Pigs yesterday. His ERA is well under 2 at this point. He's got more than a K per 9 inning and a better than a 4-1 K to walk rate. That is insane. He is a legit prospect. When you hear all the Manny Machado rumors and all that, he's one of the names that is considered a valuable asset that could be a part or maybe even front of a part of that type of trade. Obviously, he's not at the level where you could get Manny Machado if he had a few years left on his contract or whatever. But in terms of a rental, and even then, I don't think a package fronted by De Los Santos would be enough. But he's a legit prospect now, and that is just a really exciting thing when you consider that they got him for Freddie Galvis. So shout out to Klentak for that one, and thank you, Freddie, for netting us such a great prospect. Even if we're having some of the issues defensively at short, I will get over that because I am so happy to have that prospect. All right, looking ahead to the weekend again, as the pitching matchups in particular, first and foremost, Vincent Velasquez will face Julius Chacin tonight. Julius Chacin, potentially my favorite name to say in all of baseball. Just say it with me. Julius Chacin. It sounds fun. But Chacin's been pretty good for them over the last month. He's not someone who dominates you with his stuff. He's not a big strikeout guy, but he's been getting outs. He's a former top prospect for the Colorado Rockies. Couldn't get it going in Colorado, as many pitchers have. Have struggled to, I should say. So, ends up with the Brewers now after a stint with the Padres as well, I believe, and has been solid for them. Certainly better than he's been anywhere else. Certainly better than he was with the Padres or the Rockies. So nice to see Chacin pitching well. Hopefully the Phillies can get to him this weekend, though. But going up against Vincent Velasquez, and the numbers on Vinny Velasquez as of late are shocking for me, because this is a guy who I pretty much had pegged as being someone you would never get anything from as a starting pitcher. I never expected him to ultimately be someone you could count on. I thought he was a bullpen arm at best long term, and he's doing his best to make me eat those words, and I couldn't be happier about it. I've been so impressed with Vincent Velasquez so far this season, and again, he still needs to do it for longer and be consistent for longer for me to truly 100% buy in and say this guy is a legit starting pitcher. It can be a real piece, but again, don't forget, he is also their fourth starter. So with that in mind, when you look at his numbers over his last six starts, this is insane how good he has been. And again, the innings aren't quite where you want him to be. Still only averaging, you know, about six innings per start. You'd look like for better, but that could also be the type of guy he is. But a 2.14 ERA, he's pitched 33 and two-thirds innings, a 2.03 batting average allowed, and 45 strikeouts to 13 walks in those 33 and two-thirds innings. That is awesome. 45 strikeouts in 33 innings. That is what you're looking for from a guy like Vincent Velasquez, and it's really good to see. I am so bullish about his future when it has been a long time since I've said that. And again, not bullish in the sense that I'm 100% ready to buy in. Bullish in the sense that I was 100% out. And now I'm getting pulled back in a little bit. And I've been really impressed with Velasquez. So excited to see him in a big spot against the Brewers team. Again, the best team in the National League coming into town. And the Phillies have a chance at home. They need some wins here. It's time to stop this slide. They need to win a series. They have now lost three out of their last four series, one and the one they tied. They have not won any of their last four series. So that is a tough spot to be in for a team that has really played good baseball. They need to get back on track again. Ultimately, the key, as I've said many times, I'll continue to say, they don't need to have a scorching hot month of June. They just need to keep their head above water. The month of June, again, not to harp on it too much, but I can't understate how big this month is for this team when they are hosting Milwaukee for three, off day Monday, then the Colorado Rockies come to town. They are in first place in the NOS, granted a bad division, but first place. Then Phillies go to Milwaukee. Then they host St. Louis. Then they go to Washington, who's in first place, or right there with the Braves. Then the Yankees, who have one of the two best records in baseball. Then Washington again. That is a serious schedule. They have seven games with Washington, including the July 1st game, three with the Yankees. It is just a murderer's row of games. So big series. They need to get wins when they can, and any game at home for this team is a game that they can win right now. So Vinny V against Chacin on Friday. Jake Arrieta taking on Brent Sutter on Saturday. Big spot for Arrieta in the sense that a little put up or shut up, right? It's the first time that Arrieta is pitching since his outburst, since he spoke out and put out accountability and says it's on me and all that. And you know what? It's on you now. It is time for him to step up and go out in a spot against a really good baseball team where his team needs to win games. Go do it, Jake. And I feel good that he will. A nice matchup here for him. A lot of right-handed bats that I think he could take advantage of. But regardless, either way, it's up to Arrieta to go out and back up his comments. And I think that's going to be a fun one to watch against Brent Sutter, a.k.a. sounds like a hockey player guy. And then on Sunday, Junior Guerra looking like he's lined up for the Brewers to take on Zach Eflin. Eflin coming off a really good start, and I was pretty much ready to write Eflin off for the rest of the season. He was able to come through with that nice start in Chicago. Again, to say it again, you go into that Chicago series, you're like, all right, we'll probably lose the Eflin game, but we can win the other two. And you can't predict baseball. That's the beautiful thing about it. So good luck. Hopefully the Phillies can make it happen this weekend. Big series against Milwaukee, then an off day on Monday, then the Rockies and Brewers finish out the rest of the week. Six straight, the Phillies will play 10 straight days of baseball after that. So we will be all over it here on Phillies Today, back to talk about it all the weekend of action and looking ahead to what's at is hopefully the Phillies again need to win a series. There's a big series. The Phillies need to take it at home, get that confidence rolling, and I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to win the series. So we will see. That's my prediction for the weekend. Hopefully I'm right. We'll talk about it on Monday. Either way, keep it here all weekend long. We got you covered right here on the Phillies 24/7 network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.